Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, February 27th. 27th? Yes, it's February 27th.
Okay. Well, all right. That sounds interesting. Yeah, it's a 27th. Okay.
February 27th, 2011, or maybe I should say 211th or something.
Right.
Or something. Yeah. Anyway, I'm Sam Minter. I have Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, everybody.
And it is time for yet another exciting show. And
Woo!
Yeah, that's right.
No. Yeah, not really. But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, so we have an exciting plan today. A lot of exciting things going on. So just start with first in our first segment, Yvonne and I are going to talk about some things we've done recently. I had to take my iPhone in to an Apple Genius Bar to get some advice on it and had an experience there. Yvonne, I guess, went to a boat show. After that, we'll of course talk about the big Libya and Wisconsin events that have happened last week, and we'll end it up with a little bit more talk about the federal budget process and iPad 2 speculation. So that's the plan. So let's get started. So my story isn't all that exciting. My phone for the last few weeks, the GPS has not been working properly on my phone. It's like the
what does that mean?
Well, like,
you know, it's not working. Like, what's it been doing?
Well, like, basically the GPS itself couldn't get a fix. So it could do location based on, like, you know, cell towers and Wi-Fi and stuff. So it could
get a GPS fix.
Yeah, so it could get accuracy of my location down to like 200-300 feet. Okay. Which, you know, is good enough to let me know, like, you know, what town I'm in and like what the closest restaurants are if I'm trying to find someplace to
eat. But not to find your car, say, for example.
Right. So, like, but for driving down the street, it means, depending on which navigation program I was using, it would either say, sorry, you know, we don't have a fix, we can't do anything, or some of them would try. And it would just have me jumping, you know, from the street I'm on to the street over on one side to the street on the other side, you know, and you know, honestly, if you remember, I talked a little bit about the Garmin app when I first installed it.
Right. Yeah, how it sucked. Right.
Well, it did suck, but one of the things I said about it was often jumping around to other streets, and I think that was just
the GPS, not the application.
I think that was just the first sign, because it started happening in other navigation applications to me shortly thereafter. But by the way, there were still plenty of other things that made it suck, although they have issued a couple of updates to it since that have improved it, so I'll give it another shot. But anyway, so it's jumping all over the place, and basically this made, you know, navigation or anything that required precision in location made that completely impossible with the GPS. And so, you know, I tried a couple things. I'd restarted the phone, although I'd only done the sort of soft restart, not a hard restart. I'd quit all of the applications that used the navigation and made sure all of them were quit and then started again. None of this helped at all. And so I'm like, you know, okay, it's probably, you know, a hardware thing. I'm going to go into the Apple store and get my little appointment and show them. And I'm like, well, I don't know how exactly they'll test it, because you can't actually test the GPS inside, because, you know,
right,
you can't receive the GPS signal anyway inside. But anyway, I took it in. They did a diagnostic on it. The hardware came out clean. And the girl who was there, or woman, I should say, let me be correct. But anyway, she went in and looked at the usage stats and found out that my standby and my usage times were exactly the same time. And she's like, that's a sign that there's something seriously screwed up with your software. So what we recommend is that you go home and you set it up as a brand new phone. You wipe everything, you set it up as a brand new phone. Don't just do a restore from backup. You know, set it up as a new phone, and then you can resync all the stuff that's important. You will lose things like call history and text history and things like that. And I'm like, I have a utility that can back up that stuff too, because I'm anal about not losing things like that. But anyway, the point was, they never really actually addressed the GPS issue. They just were like, Oh, it looks like it's fucked up. Restore. And I know this is first level tech support, but that always really just pisses me off when it's just like, we don't really know. Just restore everything. And so what I did was I walked out.
Well, I will say this. I had that same thing happen. The thing about the usage time and the standby.
Well, let me finish, because the first thing I did was I walked out of the store. I sat down on a bench. I opened up Safari on the damn iPhone and Googled for that problem. And it turns out it's not a freaking problem. It's not a sign that the phone is completely fucked up. All it meant was that one of the applications I had open was constantly doing something in the background.
And it could be like Outlook or something. Yeah, it could be connected to Exchange Server going. Right.
But it's not necessarily a problem. Like, I have applications that are supposed to do that. And yes, they're open. I keep them open. And
well,
it's not a big deal.
It is, and it isn't. Well,
but look, it's not a problem operating system is screwed. It's an indication that I have an application open that continues to do stuff in the background, which is not the same
thing. I will tell you that in my case, what it was an indicator was that our Exchange server was fucked up.
Okay, I can believe...
Okay, there was a problem somewhere.
Look, I can believe that, but look, in my case, as far as I can tell, there was no problem anywhere other than the fact that I routinely use apps that continue to work in the background after I,
the one thing is that what that meant also is that your battery life sucked. It had to suck ass.
Well, I've never had a problem. I'm sure my battery life would be greater if I did not use these apps, but... My battery life is okay. I mean, I haven't had a problem with it. And of course, like, it's not something like I went away and like changed this. I mean, like, within like an hour of me, you know, getting out of there, I did try closing absolutely everything out, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the point is also, this had absolutely nothing to do with my fucking problem. You know?
Right. But I guess they wanted to do that, you know, as usual. Restart your computer.
No, I know.
Do the first. Right.
Yeah, it's basically we have no freaking clue.
So it's basically the idea was like to go and like come back and just say, look, I did that because that happened with me with my phone, and I said, look, I did that shit and it didn't work.
Right. So no.
Now what?
Now what I did next was before this had all started, I of course tried to Google my problem, but I'd Googled it badly. So like I was doing like iPhone GPS reduced accuracy, things like that. After this, I Googled for iPhone GPS no signal. Now some of the folks who were having the same problem agreed with the woman at the Genius Store that doing a restore fixed it for them. Now, however, most of them were able to do a regular restore from a backup, not a complete setup. The phone is new.
Not the clean one, right. Which is a pain in the...
Which is a major pain in the ass, and I really didn't want to do it. But one person was like, you know, I know it doesn't make sense, but this solved it for me. I just went into the preferences and click the button to reset the navigation warnings. Now, the navigation warnings are the little messages that come up that say, so, such and such app wants to use your location. Is that okay? And so I went in there, I reset that, and it was instantly much better. Now, I'm not sure it's up completely to standard. I haven't had, it went from...
You're not sure if this is a placebo effect right now?
Well, no, it went from accuracies of several hundred feet to accuracies of about 100 feet, which is still pretty large. But, you know, at the time,
it's a significant improvement, though.
It's a significant improvement, but, like, if it was completely healthy, it would be down to, like, 20 feet.
I gotcha.
You know, so... We'll see. It was also heavily overcast and things like that, which can also reduce the accuracy. So I'm going to give it a couple days, give it a shot, see what happens. But, you know, I just wanted to rant once again that, like, you know, and I've said this before, when the Apple stores first started, the geniuses really knew their shit. Now the geniuses.
Well, yeah. Now they got a bazillion of them. Yeah. So they're. We don't have the same.
You know, I don't want to criticize her too much. It's not like I'm going to go and put in a complaint against the store for her doing the wrong thing or anything. I mean, but it's just it is always frustrating when the advice comes down to, you know, just reset everything. You know, no, I hadn't thought of that. you know? Although, to be honest, this one setting that seems to have been made a difference, it's like, it shouldn't make a difference. It's the warnings, you know, but whatever, you know? Anyway, so that's my Apple Genius story for today. Every time I go there, I seem to be less satisfied than the time before. So that it's now at this point almost to the point where, you know, the only reason to go there is if I'm absolutely positively sure that the hardware's screwed up and I need a replacement.
Well, I have to go, and I haven't gone yet simply because I don't know. After I guess,
and honestly, I thought I was at that point, but and she did point out some things to try, and it looks like I may not need a new phone. But go ahead.
So after a couple of drops on my phone, I guess the button the physical button to turn off the ringer doesn't want to work anymore.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of thing you have to like go in and. You either decide you're living with it or you go in and have it fixed.
I push it in a little bit hard, and then you see that it goes to the silent, but it happened that, I don't know, I know what drop did it, okay, unfortunately. This was an idiotic drop that I did, but anyway, I keep doing this where I wear a jacket with a suit. I keep going to put the phone in my fucking suit pocket, and I miss the pocket, zoom! All the way down into the ground. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I did one of those, and I went to a meeting. I was at a meeting with a pretty large customer, actually, and I thought I put the phone in silent, and son of a bitch if it wasn't in silent. And damn it, right now, I am so busy with work that I get so many damn calls.
Do you have a really embarrassing ringtone?
Every 2 seconds. Oh, no. I have an extremely innocuous – no, are you fucking kidding me? No, the total opposite. I have the most boring, dull, innocuous ringtone, okay?
See, because this story would be more amusing if your phone went off and, like, you know, was singing something.
I'm not that stupid. So, therefore, I go and I'm like, it kept going off every fucking 2 minutes. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this goddamn thing? I shut off the ringer. And I went and I checked and I started fiddling with it. And I realized, oh, fuck, it's the fucking button's not working. So I had to go into the settings and just, you know, turn down the volume. But anyway, so that's your Apple thing, and you know, well, good luck with your GPS. I'm sure it'll be working again.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like you're right. What happens is let's say this hasn't fixed at all, it's still only getting 100, it's not that good. You know, I'll try doing a restore, I'll try doing all these other things. If none of them have worked, I'll drag myself back into the Apple store.
Except just say, none of this worked. Now what?
Yeah, then I'll be able to say, I tried that. And they'll say, well, the hardware diagnostic said everything was fine. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Here, you know, I was dreaming in my head of like having a little video of my iPhone side by side with another iPhone showing how mine wasn't working and the other one was and stuff like that. But yeah, it, at some point they'll be like, okay, here's your new phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's still under warranty.
They did that to me once already where, you know, when I had that problem with the battery drain, they went, they just fuck it. Here, just take a new phone. Fuck it. Here, just go. So they did that. And then we figured out that it wasn't nothing to do with the phone. But anyway,
okay.
A new phone also, the battery drained. So
we went a little longer on that than we thought, so let's take a break and we'll come back and Yvonne will talk about the boat show for a few minutes and then we'll move on to Libya. So we will be right back. And here we are. So Yvonne, you went to like a thing and there were boats and stuff.
Well, you know, look, I don't go every year. No, actually, I did go last year. So I guess I've consistently gone almost every year since I've lived down here.
You've talked about it on this show.
Either
ever since
to Lauderdale. Yeah. And so I've gone either to the Lauderdale boat show or this, for example, I did not go to the Fort Lauderdale boat show. However, I did go to the Miami International Boat Show. And, like, it's yachting events of this size, I mean, the three largest in the world that I recall right now is in Europe, the Monaco show, Lauderdale and Miami. Those are the three largest. So it's a significant barometer in a certain sense to me of the economy. I mean, you can tell how well the economy is by the size of this show. Okay. And you know, this show right now is probably close to the smallest I've ever seen. Okay. It really is.
I thought you were going to tell me it was starting to bounce back because last year it was.
It is. Well, that's the one thing I was going to say. But however, even though it was at its smallest, because manufacturers, for example, here's the issue that a manufacturer has. You take a manufacturer like the one I visited, Hatteras, where I know a number of people. Now they have probably about 20 boats, close to 20 models in their lineup. Okay, now each one of those boats costs, just to build it, just put it there in stock without a customer buying it, at least a million bucks it costs, easy, okay? So, you know, putting $20 million in the water there when sales are like shit right now is not a great deal. Now, 4 years ago, they had a brand new spec boat just fresh off the factory of every size model they did. This year, out of the 20, they had four. Okay, so, you know, because they just, you know, they had the same booth, but they had four boats, and then they filled up the rest of the space with some used boats, okay, in order to do that. But I was talking to one of the guys, and I talked to him last year, you know, about how many, it's one of the guys I know from the company, see how many boats they sold. They actually did close about, you know, from last year, I think they maybe sold one or two boats. This show, they sold six or seven at the show. So that's a huge bump up from last year, okay, which shows that some people are starting to crack open their wallet and spend some money. So I thought, and from my conversations from the others, I actually talked to another guy I know who I got to his booth, and he had a big piece of shit in the water, and I'm like, dude, what's with this? And I'm like, well, we actually had like a $4 million boat to bring in to put in the show, but we sold it just before the show started. And I'm like, oh. So yeah, so you know, so we were happy with that. We didn't, you know, so we this is the only boat we had unsold, so we put this thing in here. I'm like, oh, so it seems like from my conversation that, you know, take it as a barometer of what it is, but I've seen consistently that economic exuberance means big boat show. Right now, it's not the disaster it was the last year, but you know, it's on the uptick. So I think it's a good economic sign.
Speaking of sort of more down-to-earth economic signs than the big boat show, one of the things – I started noticing this right before Christmas, and I've been meaning to mention it, but I always forget, is that in this local area, in the suburbs of Seattle, there had been a trend where in like various local malls, specifically like – in our area, this is like a big mall for the town of Bellevue that's always been doing pretty well. But there's a smaller mall that's only a couple miles from my house. And in the last year, in 2009, 2010, it seems like there were stores closing there on a fairly regular basis. You know,
it's like emptying out. I've seen that effect. Yeah.
There was a bookstore that closed. There was a clothing store that closed. You would just see more. You'd go back there like week after week, and there'd be like another storefront that, you know, having their going out of business sale, and then the next week it's gone. You know, and that was the trend. But starting at Christmas time, right before Christmas, I started noticing new stores opening.
And I've been seeing the same trend too.
You know, and I've seen that there. I've seen that in a couple other places. And it's like for a couple years, all I'd seen is things closing. There hadn't been anything new moving in. But in the last few months, I've started to see new shops opening up that weren't there before. You know, there was a rug store just opened up, and, you know, another thing, and, you know, a new restaurant is in the process of being built, and, you know, things like that. And so You know, that's your sign right now. Now, I'll give you, it's not quite there yet, because there's another little strip mall. Both of the two I mentioned were like indoor malls. There's a strip mall that's only like a quarter mile from my house. And that place almost completely emptied out during this last recession. Like,
it's like a ghost town. Huh?
It's like a ghost town. There's like, you know, there used to be a grocery store, a drug store, a barber, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I'd say at least 50% of the businesses there, maybe even a little bit more, moved out, including all the anchor players. So the grocery store is gone, the drug store is gone, you know, all of that stuff is gone. And that hasn't started to recover yet, the little strip mall right in my neighborhood. In fact, the barber, who was the barber I went to, closed up shop like early this year. And so, of course, now my hair is really long. But, you know... So that hasn't started to recover yet, but the medium-sized mall has started to recover and has new things being built. So I that was like, signs of recovery. So anyway.
Well, I will tell you that one thing in terms of – oh, gosh, I lost my thread. How the hell did I forget this so quickly? Oh, my Alzheimer's is going.
Yep, there you go. Okay, so unless you can remember in the next 10 seconds, we'll move on to Libya.
Let's move on to Libya.
Okay.
Gosh, how the hell did I just forget this so quickly?
It's because you turned 40.
Okay. On a big footnote. Okay, all right. Yeah. The company that bought out do you remember the pharmacy I used to have in Puerto Rico?
Oh, yeah. So our listeners might not. Yvonne, for a long time, his family owned a pharmacy and a travel agency in Puerto Rico. I guess you sold them both like 15
very
years
close,
ago?
Very
10 years ago?
Yeah, it'll be like about 12 to 13 years ago. Yeah. But anyway, so the company that we sold the pharmacy to, because I sold them to two different people, all the stores just closed up. They just went belly up about a week ago. So it's finally – they're all closed. Done. Wow. That was it.
That's no selling to anybody else, just boarded up?
They had filed for bankruptcy a couple of years ago, were in a reorganization, and I guess they couldn't survive it. And finally, like without any notice, they posted notices on every store. Employees just showed up, and the place was just closed.
Yep.
And that's it. That was the end of that.
How about the travel agency? Still going?
The travel agency closed doors a few years ago.
Okay.
It'd been like three or four years ago. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Well, I'm surprised. She survived like at least 8 years after we sold it to the person. So that wasn't too bad. I was pretty surprised she managed to hang on for that long, even with the internet onslaught and everything, September 11th and all the shit that happened. So yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, so yep, that's it. That's done. No more.
Let's take a break for the poem of the week, and then we'll get on to Libya and Wisconsin and all kinds of other stuff. Okay, we'll be right back. Enjoy your poem.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tell Motel.
Curse by Cindy St. John. A man holds a snake by the neck. The inverse is also true. Fistful, love harvesting. Tomatoes are okra. Doesn't look like okra. My face doesn't look like my face, but I don't know what okra is supposed to look like. I dreamt a man held a snake by the neck, and at the end of the snake was another snake and another man. This is real. This went on for some distance. Man, snake, hand, neck, neck, hand, snake, man, and this is not a dream. Snakes don't really have necks, but you know what I mean. There used to be light inside my body. There will be light.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
And we're back. Hope you enjoyed your poem. So now I guess to the big issues of the day, Libya and then Wisconsin.
Well, I will say this, okay? You know, look, here's the thing. Obviously, I am very appalled at all the death and mayhem in Libya, okay?
Get that out of the way, yeah.
Well, yeah, before I say something that I get called insensitive, but here's the one thing about this. I mean, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, well, if you're a dictator and you're going to go down and you don't want to let go, I guess this is the way to do it.
Yep. I saw some comments after Muammar Gaddafi's first speech, the first real speech, where he said something along the lines of, it is not negotiable. I will die in Libya. I will, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I will not leave. I will take my last breath here in Libya, whatever it was. And somebody posted, and damn, I'm not going to get the attribution right.
But
basically under the title, Getting to Yes. And I don't know if anybody knows, there's a relatively famous book on negotiation and how to...
I remember that book, now that I mentioned, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Anyway, it's all about, in negotiations, finding the common ground, getting people to agree on the common ground, and then coming to some sort of agreement. And somebody posted under the title, Getting to Yes, I think we've found some common ground. I think this can be arranged for Mr. Gaddafi,
Yes, I would say so. I think that's that everybody's plan right now is just to arrange that timely, demise. Yes. I don't know if you saw, I was like yesterday as I was working out, I'm seeing this stuff going on CNN about him. What did he say? Something that parents are giving kids hallucinogenic pills,
yeah,
in order to incite them to do protest or some shit, some crazy shit like that. So the problem is that the parents are drugging the giving them the pills at night and then making them go out and protest, and then that's why we have this mess. The parents are giving them the pills, and I'm like, okay, well, this is very interesting.
Well, look, the bottom line of what's happened in the last week are, the opposition forces. And I find it very interesting. Like, when we were talking about Egypt and these other places, nobody really used the word opposition forces. It was, the demonstrators or whatever. But in this case, in Libya, there are, it's not just demonstrators. There were, sort of opposition type people waiting in the wings, have taken over large portions of the country at this point and have set up an alternative government in the second biggest city in Libya. At this point, more and more of the country is no longer under the control of the Gaddafi regime, and his sort of realm of control is narrowing down to Tripoli and the area around Tripoli. It's still very dynamic.
I will say
though.
This morning. I can't remember what this big city east of Tripoli is. Benghazi is west. It's this other city, but anyway, it's right by near a big refinery out there. The one thing that the reporter from NPR who crossed the border over from Egypt to Libya, who mentioned that the border right now is virtually unguarded. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
And completely in control of the opposition folks. I heard several descriptions.
Well, completely
of,
in control. Well, there's nobody standing there.
Well,
there's nobody there. All you got is a rebel one of the rebel flags up, and there's nobody there. Okay.
Yeah. I've heard that at some border crossings, at other boarding crossings, there are people there, but they're just like, yeah, you want to come through? Come on.
Come on in. Join the party. What the hell? Here we go. So anyway, but that he did get to and he was within sight of what is, I think, is one of the largest refinery in Libya. And apparently operations are still just not stopping.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he said that the super tanker pulled in and started loading fuel just as he was there. And this was this morning.
Right.
So, I guess the guys in Libya understand, don't fuck with the oil, okay?
Well,
don't fuck with the money.
Although Gaddafi has put it, threats that, you know, as the noose becomes tighter, you know, he's doing much as Saddam Hussein did in the first Gulf War, basically threatening to blow up oil facilities on his way out.
But I don't think he's got the capability to do it.
Right.
That's what I'm noticing.
You know, and you'll notice one of the things that happened early in the week was, you know, a couple of Libyan Air Force pilots who were ordered to fire on civilians said instead turned around the planes and flew to Malta and asked for asylum instead of carrying out their orders. This was an interesting little thing because the Maltese government was like, there was no communication. They just turned around and, you know, landed in Malta, you know, without warning.
They're like, hi, how you doing? Remember me? Hey, look,
apparently that kind of stuff was happening left and right with some fairly senior officials. I mean, this just a couple days ago, you had the Libyan ambassador, now former ambassador, I guess, in the U.S., go outside the embassy in Washington, call Gaddafi, you know, a criminal, lower the Libyan flag, and raise the pre-Gaddafi Libyan flag instead. You know, and this has been happening all over the world with the diplomatic corps for Libya. But you've had all sorts of high-level defections in the military and other places. And apparently, I've seen at least some reports that Gaddafi's trying to stop this from continuing to happen by basically rounding up the relatives of the remaining high-level people and basically threatening to do things to them if the other folks don't toe the line. But we'll see. And I don't know. That could be a rumor. That could be false. Who the fuck knows? It's very chaotic.
Right.
It certainly seems the options are closing in on Mr. Gaddafi there. You had some criticism initially of President Obama for not being vocal enough. This seems to be a common refrain in the last few weeks with these things. But then, you know, he started immediately increasing the heat of his rhetoric as soon as the Americans were evacuated from the country. And it's like, you know, it's like, could he possibly have just been prudent because he knew that doing,
heaven forbid,
you know, doing some really hot rhetoric could get those people screwed before they had time to get out. You know,
heaven forbid anybody be prudent instead of going and, like, I don't know. I guess he could have stood up there and just said, bring it on.
You know, and this is, you know, George H.W. Bush got a lot of shit for this, too. You know, that wouldn't be prudent, you know, but goddammit, it's the right thing to do.
The right thing to do.
And you know, Obama in his book said, you know, he wanted to emulate George H.W. Bush on foreign policy issues. And I think he's right. He's doing that. It's pretty clear. You know, basically the common element here is, you know, pay attention, move slowly, don't act rashly. I'm sure they're doing a lot of things behind the scenes, not necessarily, you know, blustering in public, you know, and
you can see from a lot of the cables that became public, that Mr. Assange, by the way,
Assange,
public. Obviously they were doing that.
Well, and you know, it's also been interesting. A lot of people have pointed out that, you know, the cables that were leaked here, you know, it may have been a part of the equation in what's been happening in a lot of these countries when some of the revelations weren't what, like, folks liked. But also, they've helped provide interesting details and background, you know, in interpreting what's going on. So, I don't know. Anyway, we haven't talked about those in a while, but I think everybody's sort of come to the, you know, it wasn't that bad after all. You know, yes, they wouldn't have liked them leaked, but, you know, it's not like there's been massive damage. So Libya's still playing out. And stuff is still going on in all those other countries, too. I've heard little blurbs of more stuff going on, you know, in Algeria, Jordan. You'd mentioned China. I heard some more stuff from China the other day, Ivory Coast. You know, there is still movement going on in a lot of places, but obviously the attention has been on Libya. And one other interesting facet of Libya is, you know, this is again a place where they tried to shut down all communication. No reporters allowed in, internet shut off, cell phone service shut off in some cases, et cetera, et cetera. Old-fashioned telephones somewhat in operation but being monitored. But nonetheless, you know, all kinds of news is making it out. Maybe not as much as, you know, you have if you've got, like, you know, live people on the ground everywhere, but there's still tons getting on, and we're hearing what's going on despite the best attempts of the regime to stop it. And of course, as the control breaks down, you know, as you mentioned, with wide open borders, and, you know, the reporters have been flooding into the parts of the country that's not controlled by Gaddafi. So,
right.
Anyway, so, anything else to say on Libya other than we continue to monitor the situation?
We'll continue to monitor the situation.
Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll be back with Wisconsin, and we'll see if we can squeeze in any of the other stuff or if it waits till next week. We'll be right back after this exciting message.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance and it goes like this. I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way. I got a dancing in the moonlight.
Classic music for a classic American town. AM 1620. And in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, the Valley.
I just wanted to let you listen to those noises from Yvonne for a little while. Anyway, we're back. Wisconsin. So,
Wisconsin,
like, you know, people were mentioning that this, you know, some of the demonstrations going on in Wisconsin have been just as big as some of these that have happened in, you know, Egypt and Libya and wherever we're talking about. And they've actually still gotten a little bit less attention, you know. And one of the interesting things I noted last night, I saw an article where all of these protesters have sort of occupied the state capitol. Of Wisconsin. And last night, the legislature asked the police to come in and get them the hell out of there. And a whole bunch of police officers came in and said, you know, we were ordered to get you out of here, but instead we're going to sit here with you. You know? And basically sat down and joined the protest. You know, interesting stuff going on. I guess the bill is actually making its way through the legislature anyway, right? Did they get the Democrats or what happened here?
Well, no. What happened is that the House of Wisconsin passed it. Okay,
right.
The House of Representatives, those guys didn't leave the state. Okay,
that was only
and
the Senate.
In the middle of some moment that they were negotiating and whatever, the Republicans at 4 a.m. went and passed it. Okay, well, the Democrats were basically half asleep. Bottom line, okay, because it was 4 a.m. and they just decided to sneak in to do a surprise. They planned it, you know, they apparently planned it that way. So they passed it with the House, but that doesn't mean shit because the senators are still not in the state and they're right. They're coming back anytime soon. Now, I've been reading a whole bunch of the criticism about, well, some other state, they were talking about Indiana went and did this and they've been able to save money and cut the budget. And here's my argument about this, okay? Just because I think that, you know, collective bargaining and dealing with a union and, like, you know, a relationship between an employer and an employee is really based on the competence of both teams and them both trying to work out something that's reasonable, okay? All right? And that's mutually beneficial. The problem that you'll see with most companies and failed employee, you know, union relationships is the fact that either one of them is a major idiot or both are major idiots, okay? And so it doesn't you take a company like GM, for example, or a lot of the steel mills. The steel mills thought that the employees were cogs that they were useless, and they could beat the hell out of them and just take anything out. So the only way that the employees figured out how to get money out of them was basically to just get into these negotiations that basically had to do with basically holding them hostage, and that their profits would suffer if they wouldn't do that. And so what became the contracts and everything that was built on top of that was built on a relationship of total mistrust and total crap that basically built a structure of working that was just it was not collaborative. It was rigid. It didn't give flexibility, but it was based on mutual disrespect and mutual a lack of trust that created this. This is a combination of poor management that then, you know, pushed a whole bunch of people in a situation where they figured, well, the only way that we can get something is by basically, you know, basically getting into war with them and arrive at basically a truce that sucked, okay? And that then basically the companies went belly up on. Same thing as GM, same thing as others.
Yvonne? Did I lose you, Yvonne? Hello? I think we may have lost Yvonne. Okay, I have Yvonne back now. Yvonne, okay, you were saying.
What I was saying is that, look, there are certain companies that, you know, unlike some of these dysfunctional companies, that have been able to do, you know, things where they've been able to negotiate between both sides, arrive at things that make productivity work. And the example that I always like is Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines, unlike most of the major airlines, instead of trying to have this basically antagonistic relationship with their employees, decided that they wanted a constructive relationship with their employees, and they wanted to get more productivity out of them. Southwest pays more to their employees than any other airline. However, at the same time, they have the most productivity out of their employees than any other airline, because they went and they figured out, well, how do we do it? And they sat down with them and worked on them. How do we do this? We need to do – they said, what are the things that we need to do as an airline to get that productivity? And they said, well, we would need to do this. We need to turn around an airplane in 25 minutes. We need to be able to make sure that we check out an airplane with only two employees instead of four that other airlines use. We need to do this. We need to do this. Boom, 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 boom. You set those out. You figure out how to do them. You get to work with them. And then you say, well, you know what? And if we are able to make those goals, we'll compensate you properly. So you work on that. You build a good working relationship. You would get something done. The one thing is that a lot of people think that negotiating or making, you know, working with your employees instead of having a command and control, say, like a military relationship with your employees, you know, they believe that, you know, employees should be people that should be order around, just do what I say and shut the fuck up, okay? And, you know, if that's how you feel that you want to work employees, you could be successful to a certain extent, but you sure as hell going to have a lot of fucking unhappy people working for you, that's for damn sure, okay? And not a lot of people with a lot of loyalty or dedication leads to
higher turnover, reduced efficiency, you know, all kinds of things.
Exactly. All kinds of things. And this is the kind of – what this guy is showing in Wisconsin is that he is in this vein. He believes that, you know what? You're a bunch of fucking employees. You need to do what I say. Shut the fuck up and do what I'm saying. Okay? And that is never a way to get a productive workforce to actually work for you and to get ahead. It never has been. Okay? You know – another example I'll give you, okay? I'm going with the airlines because the airlines have been some of the examples of probably some of the best or worst employee practices, okay? Well, you can get the car companies too. But the example of an airline that went from being the worst to being one of the best, Continental Airlines 15 years ago, for example, had the worst everything. Their employees were the lowest paid. Their employees were the highest turnover. The airline lost the most money. They had gone into bankruptcy twice. And you got a CEO that came in and said, you know, the reason why this doesn't work is because we treat our employees like shit. Let's start treating them right. And we'll probably – and let's start paying them more. And we'll have a better relationship. He turned that airline around in 24 months. That airline went from being one of the worst to the best in the United States, okay, of the major airlines. And he did it. How did he do it? Once again. He sat down with the workers and he negotiated and he arrived to a common working framework that could allow them to do that. Okay? That's what you do. That's what a leader does. not a fucking, you know, dictator like Gaddafi. If you want to be a fucking dictator, well, then these are the results that you're going to get. You want to be a leader, and then you'll be recognized, respected, and people respect it. People, you know what? Employees will respect when you go through a company. Look, we need to do cutbacks. We need to do this. Why don't we work on this? Why don't we do certain things? There's certain things we can do. There's certain things we can't avoid. But you can't talk down to them. That is not a way that works. And this is exactly what you're seeing in Wisconsin. That's just my philosophical take on the whole thing. So yeah. Anyway, so I guess right now what I see is, honestly, I'm like, fuck the governor, for Christ's sakes. You know what? Fucking come back. Let him sit over there and fret. He wants to go, like, you know, he sent the police out. What is his tactic? He finally did send the state troopers to every senator's house to try to see if he could find them. Oh, fuck him. Let him sit over there and, like, you know what, be an asshole, twiddle his thumbs for the next couple of months, honestly, if that's what he wants. I hope they stay protesting over there until the motherfucker gets thrown out of office or something like that, to be honest.
Yep. Well, you know, like I said before, I have mixed feelings on this in terms of I think he's clearly handling this in a ham-fisted way that is going to be counterproductive in the end. But I can't necessarily say I disagree with the idea that, the unions may not be the best thing here either. But, you know, on the other hand, a number of people on the protest signs and other places have posted statistics showing that, you know, if you look at the states that have public sector unions in place for this kind of thing versus the states that don't, in terms of various effectiveness metrics, the ones with the unions are actually doing better. So what the fuck do I know? But yeah, clearly,
what does that show
clearly
you?
Governor's
just shows you the difference between good. That just shows you the difference between good management and bad management. That's all it shows you, you know? So anyway,
yeah. So, anyway, the governor's being an idiot. It's somewhat entertaining to see these protests and stuff, to see the contrast between these protests and some of the ones overseas. I mean, so far we don't have tanks coming in or people getting shot or things like that. You know, which is a good thing.
Thank God.
You know,
it's a very good thing.
Yeah. Now, you know, having said that, I mean, you know, this country's not immune to that. You know, like in the 60s, there were some cases where protesters got roughed up or even killed.
Fire hoses, you know, so. Batons, shootings, absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
But, so, yeah.
All I say is as long as the governor refrains from actually, like, you know, turning on the fire hoses inside the Capitol or deciding to, you know, round all these people up with thugs, you know, we're doing okay. Having said that, I also don't want to see, like, you know, the protesters, you know, break into the governor's office, kidnap him, and decide to have a revolution.
Tar and feather him and take him down the street.
Have a revolution and declare their own governor. I mean, that, you know, that's not the right way to do this either. So,
although that would be quite interesting, to be honest with you, if it did happen,
it would be interesting. I just have this vision of, you know, somebody knocking on Obama's door in the morning and saying, "Sir, there's been a revolution in Wisconsin."
that would be interesting one. Okay.
Anyway.
So, we could go and, like, segue right now straight into the budget, because all I was going to mention about the budget is, you know, we're talking about the odds of a shutdown, no shutdown, right?
Yep.
Okay. So the only thing they've the only thing they've been able to move a little bit closer to is that they could pass a continuing resolution for an extra 2 weeks. Okay? Uh-huh. Now, what I'm saying is, if all they can figure out is a 2 week extension, it don't look too good. Okay?
Yeah, but
right? It, 2 weeks?
But if they agree on a 2 week extension every 2 weeks, you know, we're set.
That would be true, but I honestly, even that 2 week extension looks a little bit thin on it looks a little bit on thin ice.
I don't know. I'll stick with what I said last week. A deal will be done. This is one of those situations where nobody on any side really wants to shut down except the Tea Partiers. And the Tea Partiers...
Oh, the Tea Partiers are openly advocating it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, and they are a minority. So the thing is, you know, is the Republican leadership, you know, will they choose to let the Tea Party have what they want, even though they know it's going to hurt the party as a whole? Or are they going to say this is bullshit and make a deal with the Democrats that with the Democrats plus the non-Tea Party Republicans can get pushed through?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then, of course, the problem with that politically is that if the Tea Partiers are a threat in each representative state, you know, guess what? You're putting yourself at risk in the next election by making that deal with the Democrats. So
I know, but hey, you know,
interesting dynamics.
Yes, absolutely.
So
that's ridiculous.
Let's really quick, iPad 2. I don't have a lot to say here. What's the date of the official event? March something something.
I have no idea what the date of the official event
is. It's very soon. It's very soon, like a week.
It's very. I know it's soon, but I.
I think we should stick to our policy of, you know, when something is imminent like this, we're not going to talk a lot about it. We'll talk about it once it exists.
I predict a no glare screen.
Ooh. I'll maybe as an option. I mean, Apple in general has been going towards the glossy.
At least as an option.
Apple in general has been going to the glossy, so I'm not sure about that. But maybe it makes sense.
No, but they went. They did backtrack in a couple and a couple of laptops and did re-add back the non-glossy screen as an option.
Yeah. So in the higher end machines, anyway.
Yes.
If it makes sense anywhere, it's in a tablet where, like, you know, the exact way you position it makes a big difference for those reflections. You know, and
especially if you try to read it on the beach, as we discovered, it's not great.
So
it's
not good. You know, I'd say one rumor that was going around was the Retina display kind of thing. I think John Gruber has fairly convincingly argued why that won't be the case in this update, but probably the next update. Just because screen technology isn't there to do it at a reasonable price yet. You know, who knows? He may be
wrong. No glare and 128 gigs at least.
Ooh. Anyway, it's going to be thinner, lighter, faster. It probably will have more memory. I think it's going to have the same size screen. I'm convinced by the arguments that say the screen resolution isn't going to change. Until the next upgrade after this. But we'll see. It looks like it's going to, as usual, cameras, of course. It's going to be a nice device.
Cameras.
You know, and I've said for a while that I didn't, you know, I was okay passing on the first iPad, but I was going to want the second iPad. Now I have to convince
the wife. Let me ask you a question. Do you think, it's March 2nd, by the way, so it is this week. Okay, I just checked. But let me ask a question. Do you think that Adobe and Apple will reach a truce at some point over Flash?
No.
You don't think it's going to happen?
I think the only way it would happen is if Flash completely revamped their technology to get rid of all of the performance concerns and all of the stability concerns that Apple has. But even then, I don't really think so. Here's the fundamental reason why. Aside from any of the other stuff, Apple wants to discourage the notion of people doing cross-platform, like flashy things instead of doing apps. And I think that's part of it. I think the general Flash sucks is part of it. But if Adobe fixed all of the issues that Apple has bitched about it, they might give it another look. If Steve Jobs dies, they might give it another look. And that's rumored to happen in a few weeks.
I'm betting money on Steve Jobs not dying in the next couple of weeks.
The National Enquirer said 6 weeks.
Oh, well, okay. Well, You got they almost kill Michael Douglas last summer too, and I still I still see him walking around. So I don't know.
They got John Edwards right. Anyway.
They did get John Edwards right, yeah. But also, as I said once before, you know, a broken clock also reads the time right twice a day, you know?
It depends on how the clock is broken.
True. Okay, good point. Well, anyway, the one thing is that I'm looking at the Zoom Motorola thing, okay? Yeah. I don't know, it looks quite impressive, to be honest with you.
Well, I've seen little bits here and there, and most of the reviews that I've looked at said something along the lines of, man, this is a really great machine. I like it. It's got all kinds of cool stuff, but I wouldn't recommend my dad get one, and I wouldn't recommend other people run out to buy them.
Man, it's expensive, too.
Yeah, but the reason being that people are like, it's got all kinds of power features, but it's not as sort of smoothly put together as the iPad, and there'll be an iPad 2 in a week, so.
Right.
So hold your horses, basically.
I do have to give credit, though, that given that Motorola over the last, before they launched these Droid phones or whatever, had been sucking ass, okay, totally, I gotta say, quite a remarkable turnaround in terms of launching a number of cool gadgets over the last 2 years, even basically invading the space of other PC makers and computer makers, which, by the way, are right now just scrambling to catch up. Even like one of the things that HP announced, that their consumer PC sales in the fourth quarter sucked ass, okay? Which could be, one of the biggest reasons, I would say, is probably iPad and other devices. I mean, let's face it, Apple sold $5 billion worth of these fucking things. Obviously, the money had to be coming. It wasn't like the economy grew by that. Obviously, a big chunk of it was money not being spent elsewhere. And that money was not being spent on netbooks, notebooks, and other shit.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, I'll tell you, it's like for anyone with an open mind, it is a completely different evaluation process when you decide what you're going to sit down and get. Like, you know, I've said before, now there are obviously people who are going to want it all, who want a desktop, a laptop, a tablet, and a smartphone, and are going to want four.
I have all four, so I'm one of those. So,
yeah, okay, and I'm probably one of those too. But for a lot of people, they're going to be able to look at that equation and you say, you know, these tablets do absolutely everything I need. There's some things you can do with a laptop or a desktop that you can't do with a tablet, but I don't need those things. And, yep. Whole different ballgame. Anyway.
Whole different ballgame. All right. So, okay, we're done. We're out.
We're done. We're out. Thanks for listening and putting up with the fact that if you're listening to this after the iPad 2 is announced, you know everything and we don't. And so just consider yourself smart and you can laugh at the things we said wrong.
Right. Right,
yeah,
right, right.
Unless by some miracle I get the show out before then.
Well, I'm not putting money on that one. Yeah. I'll put money on Steve Jobs living before I put money on that one. So,
okay, thank you for joining us for Curmudgeon's Corner this week. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Right.
Tell your friends to listen. You know, one of these days I have to catch up on the stats to know how many people are listening these days. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.